What's good, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the South Boys Podcast. It's your boys. This is Angelo, and we got Tristan.
Hey, what's good, everybody?
You know the drill. Like us on Facebook, the South Boys Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at South Boys Pod, and on Instagram, South Boys Podcast. We're also on YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, Navs Ganglani. Or if you're old school, you can also email us your inquiries, questions, shout-outs to our email address, southboys.podcast@gmail.com. So, Tan, it's been a couple of days, or almost a week, really, has passed since the official start of the free agency season. In case you missed it, guys, we went live with our main man, Naveen Ganglani, Ram Cervantes, and the NBA Bad Shot crew to react to the free agency transactions as it happened during the first day of free agency. So if you want to hear or watch our instant reactions or thoughts, you can listen to that or watch that our previous episode.
First off, I hope you do realize we did that shit at 7 a.m. That's dedication, boys. We did that at 7 a.m. Navs woke up around 5, I think, to do a 6 a.m. and continued until 9. Sheesh, that's dedication, boys.
for the love of the game, and wag niyo na lang pansinin yung mga multiple hiccup namin dun sa recording din, kasi nakikita ko kahit si Nav, si Tristan, lahat tayo parang ilang beses tayo nag-yawn. So wag niyo na lang pansinin yun, kasi yeah, it was 7 in the morning. I can't remember the last time I woke up that early. Even at work, then I don't wake up that early. So yeah, so the last time we talked about free agency, that was last Tuesday, and since then a lot has happened. Let's discuss every headline that happened since then. But first, let's do a bias check, because this is our podcast. And you know, we want to talk about our teams, the teams that we support. So for the Lakers and the Heat, because they also made splashy moves. So rightfully, I think we can talk about them. You know, it's not just about our biases. So yeah, let's start with the Lakers. After trading for Russell Westbrook, the Lakers called up their exes and signed Trevor Ariza, Dwight Howard, Wayne Ellington, Kent Bazemore. They also signed Kendrick Nunn, Malik Monk, and Carmelo freaking Anthony. Lastly,
shooters.
They re-signed THT. So add LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Marc Gasol. That's the Lakers roster as of today. So on paper, Tan, they got their shooters. And as we tweeted out, it's either they're going to be reliable vets or they're going to need oxygen tanks during halftime.
Oh, by the way, was Angelo's tweet. Not me. So don't go after me, Lakers fans. It was from your very own, man.
Okay, so the age, obviously a concern. So my first impression when they signed all these dudes and I looked at the roster is it feels like Rob Pelinka, the Lakers GM, went to the junk shop and bought all these parts and hoping that it will fit nicely into the car he's rebuilding, which is the Lakers. That car has a top-of-the-line engine, of course, with LeBron and AD. But the rest of the car, when we piece it together, I don't know if it'll start or if it will be an F1 kind of car or it will be like a Toyota Wigo, Tan. So for you, this team makes sense given all their signings?
I think it does. Honestly, the timeline is perfect.
Let's go.
Everybody needs to win one, needs to win another, for example. But they don't have time to wait around for Kuzma to bounce back or Dennis Schroeder to bounce back. So I understand all these signings for veterans who have played in the NBA for a very long time. But at the same time, you think about, this is an 82-game grind. And will they be able to match up with that grind, especially coming down in the playoffs where you're expected to go deep? Yo, why are you fixing the camera while I'm talking, bro? You focus on yourself, dog. But I'm just saying, man, it kind of makes sense. At the same time, it doesn't. You needed shooters in the offseason. You needed, well, you filled a hole in the point guard position in getting Russell Westbrook and dealing away. I don't know, sending Dennis Schroeder away. That makes a lot of sense for me. But the signings for the old guys kind of make sense, but they might be a little bit too old, you know? How do you feel about it, man? You're the Laker fan here.
Yeah, so hang with me in here. Hang with me here, Tan, because I'm gonna, like, well, it's not a rant, but here's my thoughts. Yeah, we already talked about the addition of Russell Westbrook in depth with Nicole Ganglani last week. So you guys, if you want our thoughts on Russell Westbrook on the Lakers, go ahead and listen to our episode with Clutch Points, Nicole Ganglani. So, yeah, Ariza, he's 35. He played 30 games last season with the Heat. Well, I gotta ask you this, Dan. From what you've seen, is he washed last season?
Definitely not washed. I think he played some good minutes for the Heat, but at the same time, I know he seemed like a perfect fit, but it just didn't work out with us, I guess. He's definitely a serviceable player still, but at 35, how much does he have left in the tank?
Yeah, it's a long way from 2009, and it also didn't help with for Ariza that they faced Giannis in the first round, I think. So Dwight Howard, I'm not worried. I think at this point in his career, he already knows his role. He already knows what he'll do with the Lakers, especially coming back from 2020. He's played with LeBron and AD. I'm not worried with Dwight compared to the first time he signed up with the Lakers. So I already know what to expect. Yeah, with Dwight. Wayne Ellington, just a shooter. We got also, some shooters.
A member of the Miami Heat before.
Kent Bazemore. If he plays bad, I'll start calling him Kent.
Then you probably should start calling me Kent now. He's pretty much there.
Kent Bazemore. He's a shooter who can put it on the floor, create his own shot occasionally. I see him in a Lou Will type of role here.
Wait, that's so funny. When you said occasionally.
Yeah, occasionally. I'm not expecting him to create his own shot every time. He's a shooter also, and again, if he needs to, he can. I see him in a like Lou Will type of role here. He's shown flashes of that while he was Kendrick Nunn, actually. Kendrick Nunn, that's who I see as the Lou Will type of player for the Lakers. Okay. Because once upon a time, if you remember Tan for the Heat, he has shown flashes, right? He was a front runner for Rookie of the Year, if I remember correctly.
Not front runner, but he was in the running.
Yeah, he was like a top three rookie once upon a time with the Heat. And then Malik Monk, he's the one that interests me the most because he was good for Charlotte last year. He shot 40%. From three, he has that spitfire potential. Like, I don't know, maybe Nick Young. I don't know if that's a good comparison, but
hey, to be compared to Swaggy P, I'd love that. Just not basketball wise, you know, like IQ basketball wise.
But the spitfire wise, offensively, he has that potential, and he also has the athleticism to be reliable in defense. I don't know if you've seen highlights of him, Dan. He's got
the only highlight I've seen was MJ.
MJ?
Slapping his head, dude.
All right. Yeah, he can be reliable on defense if, you know, he is able to unlock that with the Lakers. And Carmelo Anthony, as long as he knocks down his shots, I'm good with that. I think we know and Melo knows what he is at this stage of his career. As long as he's not shooting 5-for-20 for us, I'm good with that.
I just realized I never thought I'd see Melo and LeBron on the same team, except for the Olympics.
It happened. It finally happened, Dan. Wow. Right? I saw like tweets or posts about it's been photoshopped for multiple of years now. Carmelo in a Lakers jersey, even going back to Kobe days. Meron ng Photoshop from Carmelo Anthony in a Lakers jersey. In 2021, it finally happened.
Parang hindi bagay kay Melo yung purple and gold na colors. Hindi bagay sa sleeve.
We'll see. Tsaka yung sleeves, color ng sleeves ni Melo. We'll see ano yung ilalabas ng color. Will it be always purple, always gold, or double whites?
It's not yellow, it's gold. Okay, whatever.
Purple and gold. Yeah, also, those are the signings. So on paper, I say, yes, this team makes sense because I'm optimism that way. But the Lakers were one of the worst offensive teams last season. They were 24th in offensive rating and 21st in three-point shooting. And I didn't get the numbers, but the LeBron off the court minutes, it was just horrible for them. Granted, injuries were a big reason for that.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say.
But I can say that, yeah, we got our shooters. And again, the problem last season was offense. And I think this lineup answers that problem. I mean, in a way that this lineup or this roster this season, they have more ways to manufacture shots, to create shots. They're shooters, but they can also create their own shot. Like I've said, I think except for Ariza and Ellington, those two are the only spot up shooters, right? If you go to Russell Westbrook, of course,
spot up shooter.
No, I mean, he can create his own shot. He can create his own shot. He can push the pace. I mean, he's going to be the head of the snake, as Kendrick Perkins would love to say, whenever LeBron goes off the court. And all these signings from Monk, Bazemore, also THT, who was re-signed.
Honestly, bro, I'm going to be honest with you, dude. Mm-hmm. If it comes to Kent Bazemore trying to create shots for you, then this team has failed. Right? If Kent Bazemore has to manufacture a shot, the end of the shot clock, then it's a failed team for me. You have a Russell Westbrook, a Malik Monk, a LeBron James, an AD. You don't need shot creators if you think about it. You need shot makers. Right? You just need shooters around these dudes. And Kent Bazemore, is he a 3-and-D guy? Maybe, but I don't know if he moves the needle for me on 3-and-D. I'd rather have Danny Green, and that's saying a lot.
Mm. Yeah, if you put it that way, of course, we don't want that to happen. But I'm just saying, when it comes to the swing, and it lands on Kent Bazemore...
Shit, good luck.
Or the other guys, right? He's not just a spot-up shooter. That's what I'm saying. I mean... Okay. If it's the last option, right?
Yeah.
Like, he can put it on the floor at least, pull up from mid-range, maybe get to the basket. And we're not just talking about Kent Bazemore here again. We got Melo. I think...
Swing Melo? Yes, sir.
Or post up Melo. Maybe once a game, right?
Once a game? Nah, dude. When you need a bucket, give it to the bucket getter. Melo, Not the one in Charlotte. The one in Los Angeles.
And see, you also have high praises for Melo. Yeah, he can definitely get you buckets. So that's what I'm saying in offense. Unlike last year, it's just KCP, Caruso, Kuzma. I mean, those guys, they can't even put the ball in the ocean to save their lives last season. And that was a big part of
why
the Lakers
I'm not having any struggled. Alex Caruso slander here.
I'm that not guy slandering is, him also.
You literally just said he couldn't put a ball in the ocean if his life depended on it, dude.
I'm just saying the facts.
That's slander. That's slander, dude. Caruso. That's slander. Caruso, he deserves the money in Chicago.
I agree. But
he's
again,
just scared of the Laker backlash.
No, I love
it's
Caruso.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
I'm just stating the facts that
he made some big shots in the playoffs, dude. What do you mean?
What big shots?
Against the Heat? What do you mean? He played well.
Oh. Not last season, though.
But he did make shots, though.
No, I can't remember any big shots from Alex Caruso last season. Anyway.
Jesus Christ, did you actually watch the finals, dude? Come on.
Last season.
Not last season. I'm saying he did make shots against the Heat. And it was in a championship.
That was against the Heat. That
what
was two
that's
seasons ago.
Do you hear yourself? So you're telling me the big shots Melo hit 8 years ago don't count as big shots?
I'm just saying, last season, the shots weren't falling and offense was not Caruso's biggest strength. And now we're replacing him with guys like, you know, more offensively potent than Caruso. That's just my point.
Okay.
And defensively, now that's the issue. You said it's more of three only guys. It's not 3 and D. Last season, the Lakers were the best defensive team. During the regular season, they were number one, right? Yes, AD is still there to protect the paint, but perimeter defense doesn't exist in this lineup. And I think that's where KCP, Caruso,
will be missed.
Christ.
It's 18 minutes of the Lakers. We turned into a Laker pod again, dude, bro. I'm just going to move on. First off, I'm not going to say a lot. I'm not going to say a lot. I'm just going to be real. I'm going to wait for the season. I like the signings. You always want to see a PJ Tucker on your team. We just re-signed Jimmy Butler to 5 years, I think, to 4 years. We also re-signed Victor Oladipo, which is a big risk for us. I don't know how he's going to play for the season. I don't even know if he's going to play this season. A big loss for us is Andre Iguodala, in my opinion. He's a great defender. He's a great veteran. He's a great leader. Obviously, we're getting investigated for the tampering of Kyle Lowry today. But who gives a shit? It's just tampering. We just pay a fine. I'm sad to see Precious and, of course, my boy Goran to leave. And it's no hard feelings. I do hope his jersey gets retired one day. I do believe it deserves to be retired. Also, Dwayne Dedmon is a big part of the Heat. I'm surprised to say that, but there were several teams who were interested, as per reports, and dude just said, no, I'm just signing with the Heat. I like that shit. That's Miami Heat winning mentality for me.
Markieff Morris. What do you think about Markieff?
Oh, you can have him back if you want. Honestly, I don't give a shit. I'd rather have his brother Marcus. Is Marcus in Boston still? I'd rather have him.
I think he was with the Clippers. I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah. My bad. Yeah, I'd rather have Marcus instead of Markieff. Although they share the same bank account, as some people said, but I'd rather have Marcus.
Yeah, so in terms of the hierarchy in the Eastern, where do you see Miami?
Number three. Behind, well, that's biased. That's
behind what teams?
That's Brooklyn, Milwaukee, then us. I don't see the Sixers above us right now. Or the Celtics.
Yeah, definitely not. Yeah. Yeah, for me, the Heat also, they're the free agency winners. But in my opinion, I agree that with their addition of Kyle Lowry, they're just the third best team in the East right now behind the Brooklyn Nets and the Milwaukee Bucks. Well, on paper, I think the Heat are a better team than the Bucks, but...
Yeah, but I was going to say, but they just won a championship.
You can't just discount that, and also Giannis' ascension, right? I mean, yeah. Giannis is a bona fide like super mega star right now.
I mean, we did weaken them with the signing of PJ Tucker, but it's hard to discredit a championship. As Rudy Tomjanovic once said, right? I forgot actually.
You can't underestimate the heart of a champion. That was what he said. But I can definitely see them like upsetting the Nets and the Bucks. I'm not saying that
they can't beat them.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they will, but I'm just saying it can be done. We've done it before. Yeah, we've upset everybody. So yeah, definitely a close second for me, but you can't discredit a championship from the Milwaukee Bucks. So I'm going to stay and put them on three for sure.
Yeah, I won't be surprised if they end up winning the East, but it's going to be tough with Brooklyn and the Bucks there. So let's talk about the other free agency winners. It's the Chicago Bulls. For me, they acquired DeMar DeRozan in a sign-and-trade from the Spurs. So the Bulls will be sending Thaddeus Young, a future first-round pick, and 2 second-round picks to the Spurs. So the Spurs, before we talk about the Bulls, I think they're signaling a full-on rebuild or a tanking.
I think they bought out Thad Young, right? I'm not sure if he's going to play for them.
Yeah, no. Yeah, but bottom line is the Spurs, they have no superstars right now. All young guys. They signed McDermott. They have Murray. They have
Jock Landale.
Who?
Do you know that? Jock Landale from the new Australian in the league. He's 6'10". He can shoot the ball. He plays for Australia if you watched some of the Olympic games. I heard he was an MVP somewhere. I'm not sure where. Might not be even sure if he was an MVP, but he really did have a great season down there in NBL last season.
Yeah, so again, the Spurs signing these international prospects. We'll see. But again, it's a rebuild or a tank. Definitely. For the Spurs.
Yeah.
So the Bulls now, like out of nowhere, they have a core of DeRozan, Lonzo Ball, Zach LaVine, Nikola Vucevic, Kobe White, Patrick Williams, and the GOAT, Alex Caruso. And then who knows what will happen with...
Is Satoransky still on the team?
No, he got... I think he was with the DeRozan transaction.
Oh.
I'm not sure which trade he was involved in, but he's out of the Bulls right now. So yeah, again, who knows what will happen with Markkanen? But reports say Markkanen wants to leave the Bulls, or they're shopping him. So Tan, are you taking the Bulls seriously now, or does this fit weird you out?
Yeah, it weirds the fuck out of me, dude. I don't see them above the Hawks right now. I'm gonna be honest. The Hawks shocked me last season, shut me up a bit. But the fit is weird. What the hell is this? Do you have four guards in the starting lineup in a Vooch? This isn't the PBA. What the hell? I just don't see it yet, I guess. You have Alonzo Ball. You have a Zach LaVine, a DeMar DeRozan. Who's your four?
Lowry? I think Patrick Williams is the potential four for them.
Oh, he's going to have a hard four. Time. He's going to have a hard time, right? And then Vucic the five.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but definitely a playoff team comparing power rankings between the East and West. I think they're a playoff team.
They're stacked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I don't know, man. I don't know. I really don't know. If I was a GM on fantasy, I would have never tried this lineup. To be honest with you, but I don't know. It might work. What about you, bro?
Well, on paper, for me, they should be taken seriously. I think a starting five of Lonzo Ball, DeRozan and LaVine and Patrick Williams and Vucevic, that's going to be a fun team to watch, I think. Yes, I think there's valid concern with the fit. I mean, you have two shooting guards on your team. And DeRozan, he's not a three-point shooter, as we know. But I think what's underrated about DeMar DeRozan, because you know he was with the Spurs the past few seasons, he has improved a lot on being a facilitator. Then he averaged a career high in assists, 6.9 assists.
He was almost an all-star last year,
I think. Yeah, almost an all-star. He was the leader of that Spurs team. He was the lone superstar. So I think they can work that out with the Bulls. I think they'll be one of the best offensive teams this season if everything goes right for them, just because Lonzo can push the pace. LaVine, we all know he's a scorer. All-star last season, right? And mm-hmm. also DeMar DeRozan, he's also, well, not a superstar, a star scorer. And Nikola Vucevic can post up, he can shoot the three, all-around offensive guy. But again, the concern here, can they stop anybody or their plan?
Exactly. Yeah, they're going to score a lot, but they're going to get scored on a lot too, you know?
Yeah, I think they got inspired by the Nets, just outscore everybody.
Yes, but you need a KD on that team.
And a Harden and a Kyrie, yeah. But yeah. A subplot here, Tan, with the DeRozan signing is that Zach LaVine is a free agent next season. So what does that mean? Did they sign the insurance for Zach LaVine? Are they not willing to pay for a max contract for Zach LaVine? Do they prefer DeRozan at $80 million in 3-4 years, I think, was the contract? Christ. Go ahead.
If you're choosing DeRozan over Zach LaVine, might as well step down as a GM right now. And for the future, not now. I understand now, but if you're banking on the future, winning on championships, I'd rather have Zach LaVine right now. DeRozan is like, he's in purgatory. You don't know whether he's a really great scorer. And he's not the best defender. And
he's also so like really 31 bring, right now.
Yeah. So what does he really bring to your team? You don't have something that you can hold on to. You can't have a superstar now who doesn't shoot threes. You just can't. You're not going to win a playoff series. Yes, but you have to be a 7-footer who can run and jump like a deer to actually win that. You know? DeRozan, he can't defend that well. He doesn't shoot the three. I don't know. It's just the Bulls, they're always been like this for the past 20 years, I guess. But I do not know where they're going with this. Except the D-Rose era, of course.
Respect to the D-Rose era. But bottom line for me, I think the Bulls are locked at least for in the playoffs. I'm cashing that in. They're a playoff team. I don't know what seed. Just don't want to go back that road again.
Yeah, don't make the same mistake I did. Dude.
All right, so moving on to Kemba Walker and the Oklahoma City Thunder. they agreed to a buyout, which paved the way for Kemba to sign with the Knicks, his hometown. So, Tan, you've been saying that the NBA is better when the Knicks are good. I'm not entirely sure if that's 100% true. But Kemba, it's not exactly the all-star caliber Kemba Walker anymore. So, what are your thoughts on the Knicks signing Kemba?
Speechless.
What do you mean?
I'm cool with it. Fine. Homecoming. Okay. But the other signings just don't make sense. You had the most cap room this offseason, and you signed Kemba, and you signed an Evan Fournier to what, $20 million a year for 4 years? I don't even know, dude. Why? Why? I love seeing the Knicks in the playoffs, especially when everybody's there. Just look at the last playoff series they played against Atlanta. We had so much storylines between Atlanta and the Knicks, and they lost like 3-1, 4-1, I think.
4-1.
Right? Mm-hmm. 4-1. But there was a lot of fucking trash talk. That's the best kind of Knicks game, you know, when everybody's talking, everybody's chirping in. Spike Lee is having a great time. But is signing Kemba and Evan Fournier really going to move you a lot of spaces in the East? Mm-hmm. Is it? Fuck. The Knicks are a big market team, dude. They should be getting big market names. But they're not. They're just not. I mean, nobody wants to play for the owner, I think. So I've been hearing that shit a lot, too. But you never know, man. What about you?
Yeah, I think this is the only signing that the Knicks made that I liked in this free agency season. Up to this point, they signed, as you said, Evan Fournier to 4 years, $78 million. They re-signed Nerlens Noel for three years, $32 million.
They re-signed Taj Gibson 1 year.
Yeah. They re-signed Derrick Rose 3 year, $43 million. I guess you just have to respect Derrick Rose at this point, right? I mean, I don't hate that. Definitely. For Derrick Rose. They re-signed Alec Burks and the big one, Julius Randle. So with Kemba Walker going to the Knicks, I think it addresses a problem for the Knicks, a problem that they had last season and in the playoffs especially. Because if you watch the Knicks last season in the playoffs, they clearly lacked. Yeah, well, I watched a bit. They clearly lack shot creators. They were relying too much on Julius Randle, and Randle just buckled, I guess, under the pressure. And their offense was just zero during the playoffs. Granted, Derrick Rose played well, but it wasn't enough. And Kemba Walker fills that void. Now, I know it's been his health is a huge concern.
Yeah, I was going to ask you.
He's not the all-star Kemba that we know, but I think it's going to be refreshing for him to return to his hometown, to play for the Knicks, right? And I think there's not too much pressure, I guess, for Kemba. Yeah.
There's always pressure when you're playing for New York, whether you're a good team or a very bad team. As long as you're playing for the Knicks, there's always pressure because that's a mecca of basketball, as they said. But my next question for you is, since you like this Kemba signing, do you think he's going to be able to hold out the number of minutes that Tibbs wants him to play? Because usually Tibbs plays everybody 48 minutes. And do you think his health is going to be good come playoff time when he's playing those kinds of minutes?
Yeah, I don't know the updates on Kemba's health right now, but I do hope he's better. His knees are better. And I do hope Tom Thibodeau, owner of Dimsdale Dimodome. I do hope he doesn't play Kemba that way. I do hope he doesn't play him to the ground. I mean, given his history, that's not a smart move for Tom, and I think he'll be hearing that from Knicks fans if he he ends up doing that, right?
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, he should be. But fuck, but if yeah, you're Kemba, dude. If you're Kemba, dude, do you want to play 48 minutes at this point in your career?
Yeah, nobody. Nobody wants Kemba to play 40 plus minutes. So I guess, or I hope, Tom Thibodeau, he adjusts or at least gives it a thought, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I like this signing. It's gonna be fun to watch Kemba with the Knicks and the feel good Knicks. I think it's still rolling. Even if they signed Fournier and re-signed Nerlens Noel, I still think they'll make the playoffs next season, and especially with Kemba.
I hope so. Yeah. Yeah. I want a rematch with Trae Young. That's going to be fun to watch, right?
Yeah. So those are the headline trades or signings, Stan. So let's talk about some other notable or underrated transactions or just simply signings or trades that you like. What did you see, Tan?
This is kind of out of this world, I'm going to be honest. But Zach Collins to the Spurs. I know he doesn't play a lot.
What?
I know. But have you seen the center rotation? Wait, bro.
Has he played a game? Like,
I know, but listen,
years?
but listen. Do you know who Drew Eubanks is?
Yeah, he's with the Spurs.
Exactly. That's it. I think I have a little bit of faith in him, a little bit, like 1% of faith that he's going to be a good player for them. But yeah, I'm going to like, that's weird, right? I like it, but it's not the one I like the most, of course. Mm-hmm. I like the Patty Mills signing for the Brooklyn Nets the most, especially after showing in the Olympics. I think that's the best signing. After the big ones, I think Patty Mills is very underrated and fills a lot of voids for the Brooklyn Nets. So, yes, I'm gonna let's forget about the Zach LaVine, Zach Collins one, and go with Patty Mills.
We're not gonna cut this out. We're not gonna cut that out.
But for you, though, I mean, like,
Tristan, like the Zach Collins.
I feel like
out of all the signings,
I know. I tried to be as off,
over a thousand offbeat signings.
As I know. I tried to be as offbeat as possible. I just had like, I thought about it and be like, okay, Zach LaVine makes kind of sense because I'm tired of seeing Drew Eubanks playing.
Did
I say Zach LaVine? Sorry. Zach Collins. I'm tired of seeing Drew Eubanks playing for the Spurs. I'm tired of seeing Jakob just being a stick out there. Might as well try to mix it up for the Spurs, but it's just out of this world.
Yeah. So you said Patty Mills. I think he's going to be huge for the Nets. Imagine it's Patty Mills is the backup point guard for the Brooklyn Nets. And we don't know with Kyrie if he's going to miss a number of games, but
that depends
is a nice
on what Kyrie shoes he wears, the one he likes or the one he doesn't. So,
yeah, so there you go. Patty Mills to the Nets. The favorites, it just surprises me that the favorites, the Brooklyn Nets, I think they even got better this season compared to last season. So that's going to be scary.
Wait, saan na punta si Dinwiddie? New Orleans?
Wizards. With Bradley Beal. I also like that. I guess for Dinwiddie's perspective.
Oh yeah, definitely.
He'll get to ball out. Yeah, he'll get to ball out and for the Wizards. And I also love Andre Iguodala going back to the Warriors. Well, he's not the Finals MVP, Andre Iguodala, but it's just nice, I guess. It's just, again, fun to watch. Will be fun to watch.
Oh, shit.
The band back together. Right?
Angela, sorry to add to question this. How do you like the Devontae Graham going to the Pelicans? Does that fill the Lonzo Ball hole? Or?
Well, I think they want the ball more to start with Zion or with Ingram. That's why they didn't want to re-sign Lonzo Ball. I think they want to use Zion more as like the initiator on offense. And Devontae Graham, I think he's more of like a shooter, right? A scorer. So I don't know if I maybe like 70% like, just because his game like fits with Ingram or Zion. You that know, makes sense.
Honestly, I like Lonzo Ball better. I'm surprised he didn't stay. I think there were
definitely he was the better. He's the better player, definitely.
No, I feel like the fit is better because, you know, Zion and Lonzo Ball, credit to Lonzo Ball, he actually improved the shooting. You can't just leave him out there anymore. And I think Lonzo's passing with Zion's ability to just leap out of this earth, I would have loved seeing a lot more alley-oops, especially the ones I saw last season. That's crazy. But, you know, Devontae Graham, I don't know if he's a playmaker. I just know he shoots a lot. That's why the Charlotte Hornets allowed him to go.
Yeah, I think the Pelicans saw him as like a Tim Hardaway Jr. type of player. Okay. Yeah, but I agree that Lonzo is the better player. But for the Pelicans, the time is ticking to make Zion Williamson happy, right? You don't want to make the same as he did with AD. So that's what I think about. And lastly, also, notable trades or signings. I just have to say again that a lot of re-signings I like, especially with the superstars. With at this day and age, right, we thought that there's no more loyalty in the NBA. And it's good to see all these, most of the superstars right now, they re-signed with their teams. Trae Young, Chris Paul.
Kawhi.
Kawhi.
John Collins.
John Collins. But with Kawhi, there was like a limbo.
They were pretty scared.
we didn't know it, Kawhi, but yeah, he re-signed. So yeah, I liked those superstars re-signing with their teams. So yeah, yesterday, Tan, Team USA took home the gold in the Tokyo Olympics, and France took home silver. And Australia won against Slovenia in the bronze medal game with Patty Mills scoring 42 points. But focusing on Team USA, the gold medal winners, at some point in the game or in the tournament, Dan, did you ever feel like Team USA was going to lose?
I'm going to be honest and say I thought 10% they might lose. But seeing the games they had against very good teams, they reassured me in the end. And I think the loss to France in the first round really lit the fire under them for the gold medal game.
Was it in the first round or in the exhibition games? Did they lose in the
No, they lost twice. They lost twice. So they lost one exhibition game and they lost the first game against France.
In the Olympics.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy. That's why people started doubting them, because they lost to France twice. And they lost to Australia and Nigeria in exhibition games. But the games against Czech Republic.
Iran.
Iran.
In the exhibition.
Yeah. It reassured me. But I was seeing basketball change right in front of me. I watched a lot of Olympic games, and I really did. As I was working here on my workstation, I have a second monitor. I've been watching all the games. They reassured me a bit, because that loss to France really kind of slapped reality back into them, you know? I was hoping
it's not going to be a walk in the park.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping that they lost the gold medal game, because if they did lose, I imagine the redeem team 3 years from now, that's going to be stacked. That's going to be stacked again. That's a Steph Curry, a Kevin Durant, and everybody else you can think of. That's going to be stacked. But this game, Let me go on a bit of a rant here, bro.
Okay. By all means, Stan.
First off, when the U.S. lost the first game against France in the Olympics, everybody was saying, oh, the U.S. can take the physicality of the FIBA game. Yes, it's a little bit more physical. You can't call a defensive 3 seconds, but these guys can shoot. Yeah, they were shocked by the physicality, but if you watched all the games in the Olympics, it wasn't even called like the same way throughout.
Yeah, that was what
they were calling tiki-tak fouls. They were calling weird ass technicals. They were calling really, really weird fouls, and that they wouldn't even call in the NBA. Then next play, it's the same fucking play. You don't call it on the same end. And as I'm talking about this, I'm going to the France versus US game, and it happened. The US, they got really, really, really fucked by the 1-5 pick and roll, putting KD and in a Gobert situation, which didn't really work out for France, as we all know. But there were some weird calls going for France. I don't know if the referees were trying to help the French a little bit. I doubt. But they were calling some weird-ass fouls in the U.S. And if they didn't call as much fouls against the U.S., it would have been over much earlier, I think.
Hmm. Yeah, France had the chance. They kept it close at least. It wasn't a blowout, right? It was an entertaining game from start to finish, at least for me. It was close, but I don't know if there's a universe where a team led by Evan Fournier and Rudy Gobert is gonna beat a team led by Kevin Durant and all those guys in Team USA, right? So I didn't flinch. I thought Team USA had it in the bag, even if France, like, they were fighting, they fought valiantly, but it was just too much Kevin Durant. And you were saying about the France strategy, like, to post up Gobert. In theory, I think it makes sense. Well, Gobert's the biggest player, right? If he gets switched to a smaller player, because Team USA, they love to switch everything. Their lineup is built that way. And Gobert, when he screens, he gets a smaller player and he posts up. Yeah, he's the biggest guy on the floor, but he's definitely not the most skillful player on the floor. And he can't make his free throws. I think if he made like more free throws during that game, what was the final score?
It was pretty big at the end.
But if he scored like more free throws, right? I don't know if
they still would have lost.
I don't know if that would change the outcome of the game. But it was weird seeing Gobert be the
you watched the game, right?
In the offense.
The game was amazing. It was really a big chess match between two countries. For example, French trying to go big, as big as they can go. They even put
how about
guy Fall
with Luau Cabarro and Yabusele. Those guys.
Which was weird to me because Yabusele played an amazing third quarter. And then he didn't even see any action in the fourth. But going back, France tried to really go big as they can be. They had two centers almost every possession they had. Mustafa Fall. He's the biggest dude in the Olympics, and they were pairing up with Gobert.
Yeah, but if they just had a big, right? A reliable offensive big.
But think about it. That's where the U.S. are trying to change the game. They're trying to run KD at the 5 or 4 with Draymond at the 5, no matter how big you are. Yeah, I can't defend you that well, but you can't defend me either. And I'd rather take Kevin Durant guarded by Mustafa Fall any given day of the week. Yabusele was hitting threes in the third quarter. Damian Lillard hit a big
Nicolo Nando, also.
Yeah, as I was slandering him, actually, he made a few good plays right on cue. Also, Evan Fournier, he played like Evan Fournier. I'm not gonna
next superstar it. Evan Fournier.
He got like good. He got some threes in there, but the bonehead three
where I literally laughed.
Same dude. You made a good
when
stop.
That ball hit
let
the
me pull up from fuck me, dude. That's like me shooting a three, dog. You don't want to see that, right?
Alam mo tan yung matabang ano, matabang nagti 3 points.
Spice Adams, yeah. Spice Adams. Yeah.
That was like weird. Kevin Fournier. But yeah, is Kevin Durant the best player in the world right now?
Fuck yeah, dude. Who else? Giannis?
I agree.
Even Giannis admitted KD's the best.
Yeah, it's between him and Giannis, and we don't have to talk about this right now, whether LeBron is still the best player in the world, but for me, it's Giannis and KD. Those two are the best players in the world right now. So, Tan, lastly, some Donda updates. Ano na ba nangyari sa album ni Kanye right now?
I've been bamboozled twice. Okay.
What does that mean? What do you mean?
He's been saying, oh, I'm going to release the album. But I've heard two listening parties. Yeezy, I love you. And this whole reincarnation thing is amazing. Like, you're live streaming you working out in a room at the stadium.
What was that?
It was amazing. You can see Kanye in a mask. He was lifting weights, doing push-ups and shit. But it was for Apple Music, guys, so I didn't really see as much. But Jesus, it's going to be a great album. It's going to be a great album, Angelo.
So Kanye had the second listening party. What was the difference between the first one and the second one?
There's a lot more, like the music a lot more crispy. The beats are better and the verses are okay. Like compared to the first one, they're the same, right? But much cleaner verses this time, much cleaner beats. It's much better. Okay? It's weird to say that the same album is much better, but I can't wait. I really can't wait. If Donda's here, come me in.
but what's up with the release date though?
I don't know, man. I don't know. If I knew, if I had a bootleg, bro, I'd leak it to everyone. I'd be doing the world a favor releasing Kanye's music. I swear to God, it's amazing. You can feel his emotion. I don't know why, but you can feel it in songs about Kim K and his family. Bro, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing.
Is there a song that you're excited the most about?
Of course, the Jay-Z song.
Hove
and Kanye. The Travis Scott song is going to be cool. And the Abel song, the Weeknd song, is going to be cool too. So I'm really looking forward to those three.
Yeah, the hype train is really going on right now. True hype train for the Don.
What the hell did you say?
Hype train.
True.
Yeah, I'm also excited for the album. I hope it goes out like soon. Are there any more like artists dropping their album soon, Tan? What have you heard?
I think The Weeknd dropped a song recently. Yesterday, I think, or 2 days ago. I forgot the name.
I haven't listened to the song. I Take My Breath Away, something like
that. Yeah. I've listened to it, but I was like in and out. So, but yeah, I'm really looking forward to the Kanye song, Kanye album for sure.
Yeah, from what we've heard from social media, it's definitely gonna be fire. And ladies and gents, thank you for listening, and we out.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
No, it's not. It
gets the people going.